வாழ்க வளமுடன். பி பிளஸ் பை தி டிவைன். வெல்கம் டு அவர் வண்டர்ஃபுல் ஷோ ஆன் குண்டலினி யோகா. ஐ ஹாவ் அ ஸ்பெஷல் கெஸ்ட் டுடே, ப்ரொஃபஸர் வெங்கட லக்ஷ்மி, ஹூ இஸ் கோயிங் டு ஷூட் அ ஹோல் லாட் ஆஃப் க்வெஸ்சன்ஸ் டு மீ ஆன் குண்டலினி யோகா அண்ட் லைஃப். ஐ ஹோப் ஐ பி ஏபிள் டு டூ ஜஸ்டிஸ் டு ஹர் க்வெஸ்சன்ஸ் அண்ட் ஆன்சரிங் இட் அஸ் கிளியர்லி அண்ட் ப்ரிசைஸ்லி அஸ் பாசிபிள். வெல்கம் டு த ஷோ, ப்ரொஃபஸர் வெங்கட லக்ஷ்மி.
Thank you very much, sir. This is Venkat Lakshmi. I'm a Sky professor associated with the World Community Service Center for the past 2.5 years. So it's such a proud moment to be with our Professor Krishnamurthy today. And thank you very much, and I'm being honored. So shall we go ahead with the questions, please?
Absolutely. Shoot. I'm ready.
Sure. For quite some time, I've been exploring a lot about this Kundalini Yoga. And in most of the areas, what I see is this Kundalini Yoga is mentioned as a serpent that's being awakened. So could you please give me some clarifications on that?
Serpent, a snake, like coil-like structure is what Kundalini is perceived to be, but it is far from it. It has nothing to do with serpent or nothing to do with a snake. The life force in our body is Kundalini Shakti. Kunda, Ali, Ini is Kundalini. And this is spread throughout the body, forming a vortex, a magnetic center in the three-dimensional center of our body, which is posited around the tailbone of the human vertebra. From there, it spreads throughout the body. There are three important microcosmic circuits through which this energy spreads throughout the body. These are called the nadis. One is the left side nadi, Ida nadi. The other one is the microcosmic circuit on the right side of the body, Pingala nadi. And the one which is in the center of the body, the Sushumna nadi. So as these three different circuits are intertwined with each other and coiled together and allows the life force to awaken or raise through the Sushumna nadi, which is the central nadi, but intertwined with left and right, it is believed to be or understood to be or imagined to be a serpent or a snake-like coil or snake-like phenomena. But it has nothing to do with that. It's a simple visualization that has been offered by the saints of the yore, that there are different circuits. The circuits combine together to allow the Kundalini to awaken. That's all there is to understand.
Okay. Is there any way that this Kundalini can get awakened by itself?
Let me tell you the story of this lady who called me about 2 weeks ago. A wonderful person. She is a Tamilian, but settled in South Africa. She is a very pious individual working for the South African government, has been practicing quite a few spiritual and religious methods, including chanting of mantras and yoga practices. And I believe it is one of the lesser known yoga forms. In at least in our country, it's not highly popular, but it's also well known. It's not a completely ignorant system and kept in darkness, but it's a system that I know a few people follow. This system is what she tried to practice. And in the process, she has had an awakening. So she sent me a message saying, "Sir, I have head spinning, my head is aching. My eyes are watery and my eyes have become red and I'm getting all kinds of weird dreams in the night. I'm not able to concentrate on work and I'm having constant disturbance in my mind. And there seems to be some kind of an inner voice that is disturbing me and my mind is racing. I'm not able to control it." These are symptoms of Kundalini awakening. Not necessarily only because of Kundalini spontaneous awakening, these systems can occur. It can occur because of vitamin B12 deficiency, vitamin D deficiency, It could be just a temporary hormonal imbalance that you are having in your body, or it could be related to some psychosomatic diseases or neurological problems also. So we don't know. We should not conclude just because people have these symptoms that they have some spontaneous Kundalini awakening. But this is a case, in this particular lady's case, she clearly had a Kundalini awakening and she is in South Africa, and we could not really send any master, or she could not reach any master. She talked to somebody in Netherlands. We have a center in Netherlands, as you know. She spoke to a master in Netherlands who put her on to me. And she sent me a message, and because there was no other solution, I gave her some simple techniques to see if that energy can be grounded back to Muladhara Chakra, and that worked. Luckily, it worked for her. And within 24 hours, she felt a lot better. In fact, yesterday she was on a video call with me, explaining to me what happened, and she wanted to know why it happened. And I explained to her, when the brain goes to a subtle frequency, and due to various spiritual or religious practices, such as tantra or mantra or yantra practices that people may have practiced over a period of time, this Kundalini has the automatic charging capacity to awaken and raise through the spine and come to the Ajna Chakra, and you will not know how to handle this. And that is the reason why you had this problem. But now she is totally relieved. Yes, I have seen this happen to a few people who contact me because of perhaps of my YouTube channels that we are having. And we have been able to help a few of them. But in many cases, we have not been able to help also, because they don't have a center nearby. They can't go and take Shanti meditation. They can't learn the Thandavada Shuddhi, the internal clearance practice. And they generally end up going to a center, or we are unable to manage it, and they end up putting up with it, or go to a doctor and see what they can do to take some sleeping tablets and try and relax their nerves. But the best solution is to go to a Sky Yoga center.
So I believe it has to be given Shanti. That is the solution.
Shanti meditation and Thandavada Shuddhi, internal clearance, are the two methods that needed to be taught to people who have had such kind of extraordinary spontaneous awakening.
So once it's awakened, what is that? Will I acquire any special powers once this is awakened?
You will certainly have higher discriminatory powers. I'm sorry to disappoint you. You're not going to be able to fly. And you're not going to be able to acquire wealth of extraordinary nature. You're not going to become the president of your country. You're not going to become the richest person on this planet. You're not going to be able to work like a Superman. You know, you're not going to create like Steve Jobs. None of those things will happen. If you already have your strength of mind and your prakriti, so-called your personality, character, it will start to shine. You will be able to increase your discrimination ability. Man's sixth sense is the discriminatory powers, the ability to differentiate good from bad and allow goodness to develop in oneself. And in the process, you will be able to acquire good characteristics, and your personality will begin to shine, and you will be able to overcome your emotional disturbances. And in the process, your mind will go to subtle levels of frequency where intuition develops. As intuition develops, perspicacity develops. As perspicacity develops, self-awareness or consciousness develops in oneself, with the ability to remain at subtle levels of frequencies. The secrets of the evolution of nature will begin to show as intuition in your subconscious mind. Your egoistic outer conscious mind will come under your control. And your travel towards that origin, towards where you came originally from, the Adi, will become easier. And therefore, self-realization becomes easier. So in short, cleansing of the genetic center, salvation, and self-realization, mukti, are two distinct possibilities that become a reality in your life due to Kundalini awakening. Practice is necessary.
So you mean to say we have to meditate?
100%. Continuous, consistent, daily, twice practice for at least 20 minutes is necessary over many years, along with simplified exercises, Kayakalpa Yoga, and most importantly, introspection practices that improve your intellectual powers, your discriminatory powers to choose good over evil. All four are necessary for us to reach salvation. Salvation is a precondition for self-realization. Practice alone will make us perfect.
You said about salvation. Is it that yoga the only path for salvation?
Salvation is possible when our genetic center is cleansed, when we get rid of actions, thoughts, words, and deeds that cause hurt for self or others now or in the future, physically or mentally. We will then reach a state of perfection. That state is called as salvation. So no sin imprints should be there in us. Only when we cleanse our genetic center of sin imprints. Sin imprints are those that will motivate us to hurt us or others. So non-hurting way of living should become our virtue. To do that, we should learn three simple methods for achieving it. One is, if we hurt someone, we should be gracious enough to go and say sorry to them and compensate them for the hurt we have caused. Second, superimposition. See, the same thought should not occur again. We should sit and replace the negative thinking with positive thinking. We can't stop thinking, but we can stop negative thinking. Third, meditation, which will help us to neutralize our karmic imprints. Agna meditation will neutralize akamya karma, man's futuristic desire-based, will-based karmic imprints. Duriya meditation will neutralize akamya and prarabdha karma, futuristic and this birth karma. Then Duryatita meditation, where we meditate over the universal energy field and the almighty static state, will help us to neutralize akamya, prarabdha, and sanchita karma, past inherited karmic imprints from our parents and their parents and all the way up to the first human being, to the animals and so on and so forth. All those imprints are sitting inside our genetic center as magnetic knots. Neutralization through meditation will help us to prevent further contamination of genetic center. So these are the three methods. So meditation, introspection, and a non-hurting virtuous way of living are three methods. They are supplementary to each other, not complementary. Not like I can only say sorry and not do meditation and not do introspection. You cannot achieve salvation. Salvation is possible only when you practice all three methods. And in order to practice the remaining two of introspection and apologizing and compensating, you need willpower. Willpower will not, if you don't have enough willpower, it will not allow you to say, go and say sorry. Your ego will stop you from apologizing or compensating or admitting even your failures. So to conquer your ego, meditation is mandatory. So meditation, introspection, and virtuous way of living are three ways for achieving salvation.
How do I know that I am meditating?
You will know by observing your own life force pulsating on a regular basis. So when you come to a Sky Yoga Center, you would have felt your life force pulsating at Agna, and later through the power of the initiation through the eyes, you would have felt it at the Dhuriya, then you would have also felt it at the Mooladhara. Then at higher levels, at Swadhisthana, Manipura, Anahata, Vishuddhi also you would have felt. So all the seven chakras would have been initiated by this Kai Yoga master. Since you are a professor yourself, you would have initiated it for others also. And you would have felt their life force pulsating very clearly in your own hands. When you touch the Agna chakra of the aspirant, you will distinctly feel the life force pulsating of that particular aspirant in his or her Agna chakra. So that way the master will come to know that the Kundalini is awakened for this person. The person may be able to feel it only for a few seconds to begin with. But as he practices, he will be able to feel the life force pulsating continuously. People who have been meditating for years on a regular basis constantly feel the life force pulsating in the body wherever they want to feel it. For instance, I'm sure you are feeling it right now as you are listening to this and discussing with me. I continue to feel the life force for me when I'm continuing to talk to you. So this is a sign that you are meditating on a regular basis. This is the first and the foremost symptom that you are succeeding in your meditation. Number two, the mental frequencies will come down. Instead of having too many thoughts at the same time, you will be able to concentrate with a single thought for a longer period of time. So this ability to persist with concentration powers is a second symptom that you are meditating and introspecting on a regular basis. Three, you will, at least for a few seconds during the meditation, reach a thoughtless state. In that thoughtless state, you become one with Brahmam, one with Almighty, one with God. There is no mind. It's a mindless state or a thoughtless state. And it is a state which is so blissful and happy, and it is inexplainable by words. The feeling of being one with that almighty primordial state. So that is the third symptom. So when you are even able to feel that ecstasy, that bliss for a few seconds, you can be sure that you are making progress in your meditation. Fourth is, you will be so strong on your principles and your decisions. You will only desire for what should happen, what will happen. You will not desire for what should not happen and what will not happen. This is symptom number four that you are progressing in meditation. Five, you will not hurt anyone. You will not hurt yourself, you will not hurt anyone also. So your ego, illusion, and sin imprints, anava, kanva, maya, all three will get sublimated and that will get neutralized. And thereby you become a happy person. You become a peaceful human being. And this peace will spread around you, in your family, wherever you go, there will be peace. Whoever thinks of you will only recall peace and will have peace in their mind. Your words will exuberate, will be soaked in peace. Your words will be like amrit, will be like nectar for people. And it will help them to remove their pain and they will feel happy and peaceful because of your actions. All these are symptoms that you are progressing really well in your meditation.
Excellent. But why I asked you this question was, sometimes, you know, I feel totally blank. I don't know what exactly happens, whether I'm going off to sleep or am I meditating? And after some time, I just get back. I get totally blank. That's why I asked this question.
That is quite natural. Initially, when we start meditating, we will only feel the life force, but there'll be lots of thoughts that will be interfering. But over a period of time, we will be only feeling the life force and not have too many thoughts. And then we reach a state of practice where we have no thoughts. We lose the awareness of the three dimensions, the physical dimensions. We forget our body, for instance. We also forget the fourth dimension, which is time. We don't know how long we are meditating. Unless we take a sankalpa, we take an affirmation that we must end in 20 minutes time. You can go on meditating for long, and that is not a healthy practice because we'll become unfit for our families. Supposing you tell your people at home that you will come and join for lunch and you start meditation, you forget time and you're sitting and meditating for half an hour, 1 hour, children will get annoyed with us. So it's not healthy to go on meditating for a long time. So Swamiji has recommended meditate for 20 to 25 minutes at a time. Do it only twice a day. This is enough for normal human beings like you and me.
Why do we meditate on the life force? And especially, why do we start meditation at the Atma Chakra?
There are four types of meditation which is understood. Pratyahara, Dharana, Dhyana, Samadhi. Pratyahara, Dhyana do not require us to focus on our life force. This is also called meditation. Many people say, I'm meditating. You ask them, what are you meditating? I'm just focusing on my breathing, inhale, exhale cycle. This is not meditation. It is understood to be meditation today. Some people, you ask them, what are you meditating? I'm doing Rama Japa. I'm doing Gayatri Japa. I'm doing some chanting of some verse from Quran. To them, that is meditation. I do not want to deny that it is a form of meditation, but I would like to offer a clarity. But dhyana is the correct meditation. Dhyana is focusing one's mind on one's own life force. The other two are dharana and pratyahara. Pratyahara, dharana are not dhyana. Dhyana will lead us to samadhi, where we become one with that almighty force. The realization that Allah is the other end of our conscious mind, or the other end of our mind is the almighty consciousness, Allah. The other end of our mind is the divine father. All of us are children of the divine father. That realization that we are a fraction of the totality can come only through dhyana. That alone is the purpose of our birth. To achieve the purpose of our birth, we must learn to meditate on our own life force. Only then we will be able to go to subtle levels of frequency. Almighty force operates at a very low frequency. Active mind through chanting or through kriyas or through idol worship or through any other such external forms, take our brain active beta frequency above 14 cycles per second, or sometimes closer to alpha, between 8 and 13 cycles per second. But such meditation practices will make you slip into sleep. Only through Kundalini meditation you will be able to remain conscious and aware and yet enjoy that alpha state of the brain. And you can even go below alpha to theta between 4 and 7, and even below that to delta between 0.5 and 3 cycles per second. And therefore, I think the only practical, simplified and effective method of reaching God is through simplified Kundalini meditation.
Okay, but why did we start meditating at the Agna Chakra?
That's your second question. Yeah, let me answer that. The life force is in general posited in the Muladhara Chakra, unless it has gotten a spontaneous awakening or an accidental awakening or awakening through any other method. It is generally posited in the three-dimensional center, the magnetic vortex of the body, the Muladhara Chakra. But there we will not be able to feel the life force. After all, till you get initiated into this meditation practice, it had remained there and you did not feel it. Only when the life force gets awakened, preferably through a simplified touch of a divine master's hands in our Sky Yoga system, you will begin to feel the life force tingling sensation, a pulsation in between the eyebrows. only then you will be able to recognize the life force. So hence the Agna initiation is always given as the first step, not the Swadhisthana Manipuraha Anahada or Mooladhara, but Agna, because only there you'll be able to feel the intensity of the life force easily. In other chakras is difficult, lower chakras are difficult to feel it. Only when you have sufficient intensity of life force in your Agna chakra, you will be able to then start to feel the life force pulsating in other chakras. So therefore, Agna initiation is given. And when we begin our regular meditation practice, daily meditation, let us say we are doing Duryatita meditation today, but we will begin with Agna, then go to Duryam, and then go to Dwadasangam, moon, sun, the universal energy field, almighty force, and come back in a similar reverse order, and then finish at the Durya Chakra. But we start at Agna. The reason is, the brain has to get used to going to the alpha frequency. It, in an active state, functions at a beta frequency, above 14 cycles per second. So the practice to allow the mental frequency to go down to alpha begins at the Agna Chakra. And therefore you start your meditation at Agna. Then you move to Duryam, where it remains stable at the alpha frequency. And then at Dwadasangam, moon, sun, and the universal energy field, it functions at the theta frequency. At the almighty static state, the primordial state, the all-pervasive surrounding pressure force, it begins to function at the delta frequency. But yet consciousness remains with you. You do not lose your consciousness. You don't go to sleep. You remain aware. You remain conscious, but enjoy these subtle levels of frequencies step by step, stage by stage. That's why you start at Agna.
For quite a long time, this was doubt was running in my mind. Thank you. So why is it like most of the Sky Masters initially, they used to tell us like always we need to keep observing this Agna Chakra. What does it exactly mean? Does it mean like are we connected to the consciousness at any point of time? Or why is that?
Consciousness is always active and functional. As long as we are alive, consciousness functions. But the Western philosophers have differentiated the inner consciousness and outer consciousness as two different entities or functional planes. The inner consciousness is what our philosophers call as the almighty force. For instance, let us say there is a man who has sinned or made a mistake, who has stolen something, let us assume, for as an example. He gets caught by the police and police has taken him to the court. The judge asks him, have you sinned? Have you made a mistake? Have you stolen money? Now that thief has to answer the question. Whatever he answers through his mouth, there is a voice from inside him that says, hey, you have made a mistake. You have really thieved. But he may be afraid of punishment. So he might say, no, judge, I did not steal the money. Okay? But his inner voice cannot be stopped. The inner voice comes from the almighty consciousness. We experience it all the time in our introspection practices. When we sit in silence, God speaks through the inner voice. All our unwanted desires, old habitual thoughts, thoughts due to circumstantial reasons or genetic reasons or divine reasons or need-based thoughts, all of them interfere with us. In fact, the reason why many people are not able to progress in their meditation very easily is because of the inner noise. When they stop talking, the mind starts talking. And therefore, it is necessary for us to start with a simple practice of observing one's own life force, which is a physical sensation. There is no tantra, there is no mantra, there is no yantra, there is no kriya, there is no pranayama, there is no bending of your body, there is no need for you to jump up and down to feel the life force. You have to remain quiet. It is a subtle energy. And it is a physical sensation of vibration, a pulsation, a tingling sensation that you feel in between the eyebrows when the Kundalini Shakti is awakened by the Sky Yoga Master. So there is no sound, there is no taste, there is no smell, and there is only the physical pressure sensation that you feel. So it's easy. So four expenditure outlets are ignored or stopped. Only one sensation or sensory organ is concentrated upon. It becomes easy for us to feel. And therefore, this organization becomes a easy thing, and it's a good starting point for us to feel the life force pulsation. That's all.
Thank you. Professor Modi, thank you so much. So, you really answered my questions, and it's such an excellent show. I had many things, doubts, and you cleared all my doubts. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Professor Venkateshwari. Thank you for being there. Thank you for coming on the show, prepared with a set of questions that I'm sure will be useful for a whole lot of people who are listening to the show and watching the show. Thank you all for being there. Thank you all for being a great source of inspiration for me to do what I'm doing in my life. Continue to be there. Be safe. Take care of yourself. Meditate. Introspect. Exercise. Do your Kayakalpa Yoga. Remain peaceful and achieve all the successes that you ever require in your life. Remember, God is there waiting to conspire with you to achieve, help achieve every dream of yours and fulfill every wish of yours. All you need to do is to listen to your inner voice and perfect it. Make sure that you are not going to cause hurt for you or others now or in the future, physically or mentally. Meditation, Kundalini meditation, will help you to reach that state of perfection. Enjoy bliss. I will see you in the next show. Be blessed by the divine. Lord Shivana.